Welcome, everybody, to episode 24 of 3 Up, 3 Down. We hope the trade deadline has treated your team well. We're moving on from there. Still a couple trades this week, but we are celebrating, at least I am. High Sox Monday. The Braves win again, their second straight win on a Monday night after going 0-12 this season on Monday. Last week, they break out the High Sox. They win. They do it again. They win. So we're recording this. I hope everybody else that's recording the podcast tonight is wearing High Sox along with me, which brings me to introducing my baseball roundtable associates once again for this week. Starting it off with Kurt Peter representing the NL Central.
What's up? If it counts, I had High Sox on at softball tonight.
See, there you go. Did you win?
No.
Just ignore that part. Jeremy Dorn representing the National League West.
And I'm actually only wearing High Sox.
Thank you. Angela Felicia representing the AL Central.
I'm not even wearing socks.
And pinpointing the American League West.
I play for the American League, so I don't wear high socks.
And my name, Brian Mapes. I represent the Eastern Divisions, and I will be wearing high socks every Monday for a long time until this winning streak ends. Gonna start it off. Breaking news on Twitter, verified. Still needs to be approved by the owners of Major League Baseball, but the San Diego Padres have been sold for $800 million to an ownership group that includes PGA golfer Masters champion Phil Mickelson. We saw the Dodgers sell for $2 billion earlier this season. I know Jeremy would probably rather own the Dodgers than the $1.2 billion discount to own the Padres. But we saw the Dodgers' new setup set this new bar for ownership selling here. Where do we think that these prices for franchises go after this? If the San Diego Padres, a last-place team, are being sold for $800 million. They were almost sold a couple years ago for $525 million. Jeremy, these are NL West teams. Where is all of this money coming from in California to buy these teams?
That's a great question, considering our state economy. I have no idea where it's coming from, but it's definitely, you know, as with contracts for individual players, it's trending up, and I don't foresee it stopping, really. I don't see why it would, because you know, every bar that's set as far as salary goes in the history of baseball has been raised and then raised again and raised again. So regardless of where people are getting all this money to buy baseball teams, I have a feeling, you know, I don't know when, but I have a feeling that Dodgers price tag will be eventually surpassed.
Things are going well for Major League Baseball. Attendance is up almost pretty much across the board, especially overall attendance. So business is booming for baseball. Going to keep it in the NL West now, and we've blown through a season for Injuries Corner. We had Kelsey Shea on for Cardinals Injury Corner. We had Brewers Injury Corner. We've had Rangers Injury Corner. Going to go to another team here, the Colorado Rockies. It's their week for an Injury Corner. Jeremy, back over to you. What's going on in Coors Field? Is everybody just trying to bail out on this terrible, terrible last place team?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going down on purpose, but it's you know, it's a pretty lost cause at this point for the Rockies this season. So I think even, you know, maybe if a contender had some of these, you know, even serious injuries, they might try and rehab and get someone back in time for the last couple weeks of the season. But for them, you know, they're so far out of it. There's no point. They shut down certain guys. They have Christian Friedrich, the starting pitcher, his season's over. Stress fracture in his spine. That's a shame. You know, he wasn't putting up huge numbers, but he's only 25. He was a number one pick in 2008. And, I mean, that pitching depth in Colorado was already pretty non-existent. Jonathan Sanchez, they just traded for him. He's on the DL with left biceps tendonitis, same injury. Kadir, one of their only bright spots this whole season, injured his oblique. So he's out for a little while. Tyler Colvin sounds like he's getting some more time now because of his injury. And one of my favorite players from growing up, Todd Helton, his season's over, unfortunately, too. Tore a labrum in his right hip. Not having great numbers this year either, but, you know, the Rockies are slowly just bleeding out. I did see on the bottom line of ESPN earlier today that I guess Helton intends to return for 2013 as it stands now. You never know, but sure hope he does.
Todd Helton turns 39 years old. His time through next season, the end of a three-year $33.6 million deal. Open it up to everybody now. Do you think we see Todd Helton next season, possibly in a Chipper Jones-type situation where he announces before the season that this is the last one and goes around to all of the teams for just the last trip around the majors? Angelo, do you think this could be the end of Todd Helton?
Yeah, I think it could be the end of Todd Helton. But I think that he can also do what you just said about doing what Chipper said and announcing this is his last year. But if I had to really guess, I would say he's done.
Brian, over to you. What are your thoughts on Todd Helton? Do we see him next year, and could it be his last season?
I do see him next year, and I do think it will be his last season. I think he's going to go out like Chipper did. He's going to have something like Mariano come play again next year. I think he's going to come back, but only play next year.
All right, KP, over to you. What are your thoughts on Todd Helton's last possible season?
I've always been a big fan of Todd Helton. I mean, he's always been like a fantasy staple almost. If you picked him up, he's not going to do bad. He's not going to do great. He'll just put up good numbers and get some hits. So I guess I hope he comes back next year. I don't know if he will. I mean, a hip isn't really a bounce-back injury, but we'll see. I mean, the Rockies could certainly use him.
All right, going over to a couple other injuries. Carlos Ruiz, who's basically been the MVP of the Philadelphia Phillies this season, he is out 4 to 6 weeks with plantar fasciitis. That pretty much might cement the Phillies as a last-place team in the National League East. Tonight they lose to the Braves. That is their 60th loss of the season. And not put it in perspective for the Phillies, they have lost games on August 7th. They lost 60 games all of last year's regular season. That is pretty ridiculous to see how far Philadelphia has fallen. And another falling for the Phillies, their sellout streak is over. It was the third longest streak in the history of Major League Baseball, the longest ever in the National League, over 270 straight games sold out in Philadelphia, comes to a close Monday night against the Atlanta Braves. Just because the trade deadline passed, there still is room for waiver moves. A couple trades did happen this week, and it looks like with Ryan Rayburn to the Detroit Tigers had to deal for somebody to fill in for him. Angelo, what's going on over in Tigers land?
Well, we just traded for the Cubs utility man, and when I say utility, it's virtually every position besides pitcher, John Baker. The report is that, yeah, while Rayburn went to the DL with a, what we're calling, I guess, a sore thumb or such, Jeff Baker. Okay, time out, because now I'm so confused. I thought it was John Baker, but that's not John Baker. It's the catcher from whoever he played with before.
Sorry. Yeah, I knew it wasn't John, but I'm not sure if it's Jeff Baker.
You're right.
Okay.
Just start over from where I ended the question. Okay.
Yeah, we just traded for Jeff Baker from the Cubs, and he's a utility guy who will play every position besides pitcher. What they're saying with Rayburn is that he's got a sore thumb, I guess, but the reports I read that he's going to replace him for good on the roster till who knows what. I just hope it's forever. But it's promising because he could give a lot of guys a much-needed day off. And you could do defensive specialists down the late innings. So we'll see. The guys we traded him for have yet to be named. There'll be two players going to Chicago, but they're just not sure who they will be yet. I can't imagine. Go ahead.
No, keep going.
I was say I can't imagine it being anybody worth noting.
Anybody too significant there. Another trade did happen. The Dodgers picked up Joe Blanton from the Philadelphia Phillies. There were rumors that the Dodgers might try and get Cliff Lee, as they did put in a waiver claim for Cliff Lee this week, but no trade was done with Philadelphia. They pick up Joe Blanton, though. How do you like that move for your Dodgers, Jeremy?
I'm not going to lie. At first, when I saw the news break, I was a little bit annoyed because we missed on Dempster and so many other, you know, quality pitchers at the deadline. But at the same time, you know, he's, even if his numbers aren't fantastic overall, he's always been, you know, a very solid middle of the rotation, back of the rotation kind of pitcher. And he gives you, you know, a lot of innings. He gives you a good effort every time. And I know that when he came to the Phillies midseason in 08, he was, you know, a workhorse. He was a huge part of their rotation and their run to the World Series. Necessarily going to provide that type of stability in LA, but I do, you know, after seeing his first start and everything, I do like the move a little bit better, because honestly, I mean, behind Kershaw, there isn't much to talk about in the LA rotation right now, so definitely going to help more than it's going to hurt, I assume.
All right. Going to go back over to some injury news. Emilio Bonifacio, the speedster for the Miami Marlins, he actually still, with all that time missed for thumb surgery, still leads the league in stolen bases, ironically, with D. Gordon, who's missed a lot of time lately. Maybe the Braves' Michael Bourne, who is one behind him, can pass them with both players out now. Bonifacio sprains that same thumb he had surgery on just 8 weeks ago. He goes to the DL for the second time this season. We might see a complete battle for the basement of the NL East between the Marlins and the Phillies, but they are getting Giancarlo Stanton back, so we all know my boyfriend can probably carry them to a few wins. I'm going to go over to the National League Central. A couple injuries over there. Lance Berkman goes to the DL for the third time this season. KP, do you think we see Lance Berkman again before the season is out?
I don't know if we do. The Cardinals could use it. They're still in the race, even though they may be behind a hot Pirates and a hot Reds team. But he's definitely come in late in the season, even in St. Louis, and he's made a big impact there. So if he does come back, he'll need to fire it right back up again and not have a lot of downtime, because it'll be almost at the end of the season. But I don't think he will. I don't know if his career is probably not over. He'll probably come back next year and start off fine, but I don't think he'll be back this year.
All right, and another injury in the NL Central. Francisco Cordero, who the Astros traded for Myers as their closer, he goes to the DL. It is now Wilton Lopez who will be the closer for the Houston Astros. But if you're thinking about picking him up in fantasy leagues, if you need a few saves, we have a better option for you coming up in three down. And you never know if the Astros are even going to win a game lately.
That's what I was
going
to say.
They are 36-73 now on the season. How many games do you think the Houston Astros lose this season, KP?
That's a tough question. It's certainly going to be a lot. I'd say easily over 100. I know that when they came to Miller Park and we were struggling, that we were kind of excited because they won like 10 out of 50 away games or something like that. But I think that they'll breach 110?
110. I just did the math. There are 53 games left. To get to 110, they would need to lose 37. They would have to go 16-37.
That's very possible.
That sounds about right. Let's see, 16 divided by 37. That's a 432 winning percentage, which would actually be an improvement over what they are doing right now.
16 out of 53.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Losses. You're right. 301, so a little less, actually. So that's entirely possible that they could get to 100. I'm going to open up to everybody. This is Houston Astros. End up with, going to send it over to Brian.
Well, they got a vast majority of those wins when they still had Wandy Rodriguez. They always got to go 115 plus. I don't think they even win. I don't think they win 30 more games or 10 more games the rest of the season. I just don't see it happening.
All right. The modern record is 120 losses, set by the 1962 New York Mets. Astros could possibly make a run at that. We will see. Angelo, over to you. You know you've seen your fair share of teams losing a lot of games, like the 2003 Detroit Tigers. How many games do the Astros lose this year?
I'm going to go with 111. Yep, right on the nose.
All right. And Jeremy, over to you. How many losses for the Astros?
Angelo, you stole it. I was going to say the 111, but now I'm going to be the optimist. I'm going to give the Astros a little credit. 109.
There you go.
Two wins of optimism.
And I'm going to congratulate all four of you, if you remember way back in the preseason. If any of you have listened to every episode, but I said that the Houston Astros team total would go over, and I think it was something like 65 or something. And looks like I'm going to be wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Going to go over to the last bit of injury news. Haven't talked to Brian yet, really, about anything. AJ Griffin to the DL with a strained shoulder for the Oakland Athletics. They up Dan, who was good, tremendous strikeout machine in the minors. Brandon McCarthy on his way back. Brett Anderson could be on his way back. Brian, where did the Athletics keep finding all of these guys to plug in and stay in the hunt in the American League?
Billy Beane's a genius. I mean, that's all there is. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know where he gets these arms. He's been doing it for the last, what, when did he become GM? 2001, he's always had a good stable of pitchers, good stable of young pitchers, and he trades them at the right time. I don't know how he does it, but the man is a genius. So credit's got to go to Billy Beane.
Yeah, you think they would make a movie about him?
You'd think they would think of something.
Brad Pitt to do it. I bet you he'd make a dreamy Billy Beane.
He wouldn't be bad at it.
All right. And going to go over a few players released, some big names. The Indians released Derek Lowe and Johnny Damon. Is that a move, Angelo, that pretty much the Indians are conceding here? Or do you think that letting those two players go actually improves the Tribe?
No. Okay. It might improve them, but I think it's conceding because usually I think just drop some salary at this point. And just, you know, play out the rest of the season the best you can. You know, will Damon ever come back anyway? Who knows? So I don't know. With the Indians losing their last 9 games and going 0-9 for the first time in franchise history on a road trip, I think they're just throwing it in the white towel.
All right, a couple other players released. The Rays let go of Hideki Matsui. But it's okay. They have Evan Longoria coming back on Tuesday. Different positions, but a lot more offensive firepower coming from Longoria. And the Dodgers, after trading for Shane Victorino, let Bobby Abreu go. Out of those four players, Lowe, Damon, Matsui, Abreu, who do we see back in the majors first? Going to start it off with KP.
I'm not sure. I forgot what the question was. I was doing something else, so I'm just going to edit this part out.
All right.
You got to warn me when that's happening.
Hello.
You said, let's turn this around to everybody else.
I'm doing right. something else.
The question is, low Damon, Matsui, Abreu, who do we see back in the major leagues first? And then you can just start with your answer.
Well, you know, I definitely think that Lowe will probably be back to first. I don't know if Johnny Damon's got a lot of pop still left in his bat. I mean, I know that every year that he seems to get signed to a AAA team and then brought up for a little bit, and then he kind of sucks. Abreu, I've thought he's been ticking on his last wheel for the last 2 or 3 years, so I don't think he'll be back up. And I think that Lowe's got the most... Pitchers can last a while, as Jamie Moore has shown. Maybe not well, but they can be serviceable. So I think that, if anything, he'll get picked up by someone. And, well, he'll be back at some point.
All right. Or do you think we see back in the majors first out of those four guys?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Derek Lowe. I just think that he has a little bit left in the tank as far as the rest of the guys go, unless they find their way into the American League as a DH. Well, or back in the American League, I guess, in Abreu's case. But, yeah. But.
Hey, Jeremy, over to you.
I'm going to have to agree. I think that Abreu has actually been decent at, you know, in spurts for two teams this year, but he's also been dropped by two teams. So, I agree. If Lowe can start, he can come out of the pen. There's going to be some contenders like my Dodgers that will need some pitching depth in the rotation and bullpen come September. So, yeah, I'd be surprised if Lowe didn't get added to a playoff roster at some point.
All right, Brian, over to you. Out of those four guys, who do we see back in the bigs first?
I'm going to have to agree with everyone else, and I can think of another team that's having some pitching issues lately. The Texas Rangers could really use a guy in the bullpen, in the rotation, closer, sit on the bench. I don't care, just somebody. But, yeah, I think Lowe's come be the one we see back first.
Yeah, I agree. It's Derek Lowe. I think his sinker can still work, even if he comes out of the bullpen, maybe as a situational guy if you need a double play. And again, the Rangers, with all their pitching woes, they might actually be able to use Derek Lowe. Going to go back over to the National League Central now. A lot of big call-ups all coming in today. The Cubs call up Josh Bitters and Brett Jackson, while the Brewers call up shortstop prospect Gene Segura, who they got in the Zach Greinke deal from the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. KP, who do you think has the biggest splash for the rest of the season in the NL Central out of those?
Oh, man. That's it's all speculation at this point, but I think the biggest impact player could probably one of the two for the Cubs, just because they're more, I mean, not that the Brewers aren't concerned with their future, but they'll definitely stand out more. I mean, they're both playing on the same team. They have a little more visibility. They'll probably be playing every day. The Brewers, I don't think Segura is going to be playing every day. I mean, today he went 0-for-4 with 2 Ks. Like, it's certainly not much better than Esturis that we just dropped. But, I mean, they'll have good promise, and the Cubs organization, I feel like they'll get under the microscope a little more, under the Cubs. I mean, at the Cubs organization, they have, I feel like, a bigger fan base, even though I don't want to admit it. So, yeah, they'll get more coverage. Not much, but more.
All right, and the last bit of news this week. You've probably been looking forward to the segment all week. This Week in Tommy John, and we have nobody. Not one player scheduled to get to Tommy John. Not one player got Tommy John. Scott Atchison, the Red Sox reliever, is on the watch. He might get it, but he's not close to it yet. I'm dumbfounded. I don't know what to do. I feel like I've disappointed all of you that look forward to This Week in Tommy John each and every week here on 3 Up, 3 Down. But, yeah, I'm sorry. If you want a pitcher that's out for the season, look no further than Tim Burdick of the Mets, the reliever, but he popped a capsule in his shoulder, a little bit different from Tommy John. Gonna go over, though, to 3 Up, 3 Down Fantasy now. And we will start it off with KP. who has the better closer for us than picking up Wilton Lopez?
Yes, I have Greg Holland for the Kansas City Royals, who will definitely be a bigger reliever effect than the Astros, because the Astros aren't going to win any games. But Derek Holland will come in. He's been solid as of late. He's only allowed 0 runs in his last seven appearances. I've struck out a lot of people. He doesn't allow a lot of base runners. His last outing was actually his worst, and he actually got the win because it went into extras or it was late innings. So yeah, for the Royals, I mean, not much better than the Astros, but he's definitely, I mean, as we just all picked the Astros to only win like 30 games the rest of the season, he's definitely going to have a better shot at making it and giving you more fantasy profitability for your championship run.
Yeah, I was able to pick up Greg Holland in a league where I needed save, absolutely sweating out that game on Sunday, because it's a league that counts losses, and I was afraid Holland was going to blow up. He had allowed the bases loaded. Holland gives up some base runners. He walks a lot of guys, but he also strikes out a lot of guys. You'd like to get a good K per nine out of a closer, and Holland will do that. Going to go over to Angelo now. A couple of outfielders maybe have been overlooked because they've been on a last-place team this season, but can help you out on your fantasy team. Angelo, who do you have as 3 up this week?
Well, I'm going to start with Denard Span of the Minnesota Twins. He's, albeit the last 2 games were kind of shady. his previous 10 games, he raised his batting average 12 points, so he's definitely been hitting a lot better. Just being an all-around solid outfielder for the Twins that they need right now. And the other player I have also from the Twins is going to be Ben Revere, who is on a career-high 19-game hitting streak and leading the team in batting average, too. So those two guys right there are definitely helping out the Minnesota cause.
All right. Both of those players are owned in 35% or less of Yahoo Fantasy Leagues. And, you know, Ben Revere, if you're looking for speed, he has 27 stolen bases on the year and counting. He's getting blown out by Mike Trout, who, as I'm watching, steals his third bag of the night. He's up to 35. But Ben Revere, very quietly, a lot of speed if you need it in fantasy leagues. Going to go over to the last 3-up player this week. And anytime you can get a hitter in Coors Field that is doing well, you've got to love the numbers. Jeremy, who is your 3-up player for this week?
Yeah, get him while he's hot. Josh Rutledge, taking over a shortstop in Colorado for the time being. Got the call pretty recently. He's only played in about 20, 21 games. But, you know, he's put up big numbers already. 326 homers, 3-for-3 on steals even. So, you know, he's having a good time hitting, especially at home. Half of his hits so far have been extra base hits. So, you know, the only knock against him right now, his K rate's a little high, but he's also in his first, you know, stint up there, or at least his first major one. So definitely someone to look at. I'm replace any starters at short, but he's definitely an infielder you can look at for a little bit of depth on your fantasy team.
All right, that'll do it for the 3-up portion of 3-up, 3-down. We're going to move over to the 3-down portion of 3-up, 3-down. And we said it before, the Rangers have had a lot of pitching woes, injuries to Colby Lewis, Neftali Feliz. Now, even performance-wise, we've seen Roy Oswalt be subjected to the bullpen for the first time in his career for an extended stay. But another pitcher in the Rangers' rotation is also doing quite poorly. Brian, who is that?
Well, oh man, this is my guy. So this is hard for me to do this. It's none other than Yu Darvish. He has been awful, at best. He's been awful. I mean, even when he won against the Angels, he still gave up 7 earned runs. He's just not good right now. His last 3 starts, he's given up 5 earned runs, 7 earned runs, 6 earned runs. his only saving grace as the reason why you would keep him on your team is if you've completely thrown away ERAs and wins and all you're going for is strikeouts. Because he's going to rack up strikeouts. He's got 154 on the bar. He's doing pretty well in that department, but everything else, he has been awful. He walks too many people. He gives up hits. The Red Sox had 7 doubles off of him today. There were no home runs, but still 7 doubles. He's just not very good. He hasn't been good for the last month. I don't know whether it's the heat getting to him, the pressure of a pennant race I wouldn't think would affect him because he's pitched in games like this before. I don't know what's wrong with him. Maybe he's just getting tired because he's not used to American ball pitching every 5 days with a heavier baseball. I don't know what to tell you, but I would drop him because he's steadily increased his ERA over his last 10 starts.
Yeah, he's strictly a strikeout pitcher right now. If you need strikeouts, you throw him out there and hope for the best. But I mean, the whip's been terrible. He's walking guys left and right. I'd actually think I'd rather have Dan Straley of the A's and take his upside pitching in that ballpark in Oakland than Yu Darvish right now if I'm looking for strikeouts. Gonna go over to my 3-down player for this week, and it is Matt Wieters of the Baltimore Orioles. We said that Choo-Choo Reese is out for 4 to 6 weeks. Matt Wieters isn't the guy you want to replace him. He's hitting just .242 this season, but even worse, he's hitting .222 since the All-Star break with just 1 home run and 6 RBIs and 5 runs scored. Things have not been going well for Matt Wieters, and that's part why Baltimore has started to slide a little bit in the playoff race. Gonna go over to the last 3-down player here, a guy you might possibly want to drop for our 3-up player, as it's possible he could lose the closer gig over in the American League West. Jeremy, who's your 3-down player for this week?
Yeah, this is unfortunate because, you know, Ryan Cook had been a revelation in Oakland this season, coming out of nowhere to be a stud closer. And if you take his whole body of work into account, you know, he's still got 11 saves, a good ERA, good whip, lots of strikeouts. But when you look back at the last, you know, 7-8 appearances, his last 5 save attempts, he's blown 4 of them, which is just ridiculous. And I know they've already started, you know, calling at least to looking into Cook getting replaced as the closer. And, you know, Bob Melvin, the A's manager, has said that they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. They got to deal with this, you know, he's a young guy. It's his first really tough spot as a major leaguer. But that being said, he's struggled really bad when he pitches back-to-back days. When he gets at least a day's rest, 0.24 ERA in 38 innings. With back-to-back days, no rest, 12 runs and 9.1 innings. So I don't know if it's just the amount of work or what, but if the A's realistically want to stay in this race, especially in series like the one they started tonight against the Angels, they really need to at least look at having a couple other options ready at the end of games.
All right, that's going to do it for 3-up, 3-down. This going to move to our monthly segment where I post my If the Season Ended Now MLB Awards on our blog over at 3u3d.mlblogs.com. While I'm here, I'd like to thank you again for making us the 20th ranked fan blog on ML Blogs for this past month. Hopefully, we're hoping to crack the top 10 at some point before the season ends. That would be completely awesome. But my awards are up over there, again, at 3u3d.mlblogs.com. But it opens myself up to let these guys have a gripe with me and what should I have changed, and get their thoughts on where the awards stand right now. So we're going to start it off with KP. What is your gripe about my slightly early MLB awards?
I mean, I feel like it wouldn't be right if I didn't argue for our Ryan Braun to be the MVP. I know it would be hard for me to pick over Andrew McCutchen the way he's hitting right now. I mean, over, what is he, still over 370 right now? And I don't know. I think overall Ryan Braun's a better player. McCutchen's playing on a better team, and he'll have Well, Braun will have the Matt Kemp effect happen to him, probably, because the Pirates are actually in a race and the Brewers are not. But, so, I mean, I'm happy for Andrew McCutchen. I think he's a good player. And he's definitely proved himself to me this season, because I've never been a big fan of his. But he should win it if he keeps up this pace, unless he goes on a huge slump. I wouldn't see it changing anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm not moving on Andrew McCutchen. He's the clear-cut NL MVP to me. His team's in the playoff race, and it's the Pittsburgh Pirates who have never made the playoffs since 1992. I mean, McCutchen's leading the league in wins above replacement, batting average, slugging percentage, and runs scored. Braun's putting up even better numbers than last season when he won the MVP, but McCutchen's numbers across the board are better than Braun's, in my opinion. Plus, his team has the better record. Gonna go over to Brian. What is your gripe about my slightly early MLB awards?
I don't really have a gripe. Like, I agree with almost everything except for Bryce Harper getting the silver medal in Rookie of the Year, National League Rookie of the Year. I don't even think he three. June and July performance was just awful. He looks bad. He's playing like he's 19 years old. I would have moved up Todd Frazier into silver, and I would put Anthony Rizzo as bronze, just because of how he's playing right now. In last month, he hit 330. I know his team is awful, but he's playing good on a bad team, which I honestly think is harder to do than playing good on a good team. So I would have gone with Anthony Rizzo right there.
I can see the Todd Frazier call. I was this close to having Todd Frazier ahead of Bryce Harper, but I figured the intangibles of Harper and what he's done to keep the Nationals afloat, and that I know Rizzo's numbers are great, but I got the at-bats of Bryce Harper ahead of Bryce Harper at this moment. Jeremy, going to go over to you. What is your gripe about my MLB awards at this point in the season?
Oh, Mapes, you know I look forward to this segment every month, getting to yell at you for stuff. But I actually thought you did a really good job, too. Honestly, I didn't have much to gripe about. I did find one little thing. I'm splitting hairs here in the AL Cy Young race because there, in my opinion, are five very, very legitimate candidates right now. But that being said, I think that David Price not being in the bronze position right now is a bit of a snub. You have Chris Sale there, who's obviously been amazing. That being said, Price, 14-4, better ERA than Sale, way more Ks, 146-114. So, I mean, they've both been dynamic. It's a tough choice, but Price has just been, for some reason, it seems like he's been kind of going under the radar as one of the aces of the American League, because Jared Weaver, Justin Verlander, Chris Sale, all those guys have been putting up huge numbers and have become a huge storyline because of it.
Yeah, it's so close between Sale and Price. Sale did get roughed up a little bit this start, still doing well, but I just can't see moving Sale out of there right now. It's tight. David Price has been so good, too, but I think Weaver and Verlander are the clear 1-2, and then it's like a second tier of greatness between Price, Sale, and Felix Hernandez, and then it's everybody else in the AL race over there. Gonna go over to Angelo. What is your gripe about my MLB awards at this point in the year?
Well, I'm going to just say, and as well as I'm pretty much on board for everything you said, I do agree with the Weaver and Verlander being 1-2 and splitting hairs there, but I'm going to go with the AL MVP. I know Mike Trout has had a great year, and I'm a little bit of a homer here, but if you listen to the podcast enough, you know how I feel about rookies winning big-time awards and playing the All-Star, things like that. So I don't think Mike Trout should win AL MVP. I know he's playing great. Miguel Cabrera is just in beast mode right now for the Tigers. He has been all year. I know he might not lead the AL in every category, but he leads
maybe the AL in half the betting categories. And just what he did the last couple of games, too, it just proves that he's just a force to be reckoned with. You're not going to walk Mike Trout as much as you're going to walk Miguel Cabrera to keep your team in the lead or the other team off the board. So I think Miguel Cabrera should be the AL MVP as of right now.
I can see your argument. The problem is if you do, you're going to walk Mike Trout less because Mike Trout's going to steal second on you if you walk him. Miguel Cabrera won't. But I love Miguel Cabrera. It's a shame that he's never started an all-star game. I still can't believe that. But he's the best hitter in baseball at this moment. I am completely comfortable in saying that. But Mike Trout is just doing ridiculous things, and he's completely turned the Angels season around since he got called up. And, I mean, he was the player of the month for July, and I had him as the MVP in the beginning of July. So I'm not going to change my stance on Mike Trout. Cabrera definitely has come up and is making it a race. But what about Josh Hamilton? Josh Hamilton looked like the clear MVP. He's completely fallen off in my rankings. I'm surprised nobody tried to attack the National League Cy Young Award, where I have Kane, then Cueto, and then Jordan Zimmermann third. But as I said on Twitter earlier this week, there's a group of about 14 pitchers, those three I just said, plus Strasburg, Geo, Dickey, Kimbrell, Bumgarner, Chapman, Vogelsong, Miley, Kershaw, Loesch, Hamels, and A.J. Burnett. Four of those guys aren't even going to make it onto a writer's ballot, and they've all been absolutely fantastic this year. Still 2 months to go till we actually have to decide awards and ballots. Well, I'm sure on our blog, we will have our own ballots and we'll tabulate and come up with our own award winners for this season. But great job, guys, in your gripes with me this month. I think I defended myself pretty well so far. I'm glad some of you guys agree with me on this stuff. And that's going to do it for us this week. I'd once again like to thank my fellow podcast hosts, Brian Boynton, Jeremy Dorn, Angelo Felicia, and Kurt Peter. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's at 3U3D. Like us on Facebook. It is 3Up, 3Down over there. Read our blog. It's 3U3D.mlblogs.com. I just put up a post today about the 3U3D California road trip that I'm going to be taking with Jeremy and KP. We're going to do 5 stadiums in 6 days. Would love to get your input if you know anything about those stadiums, deals, places to go, things to do in California. I've never been west of Las Vegas, so I'm very excited for this and taking in a lot of baseball in a couple of weeks. And that is going to do it for us. We ran out of time. We'll get to Eddie Mata the next time.
Tell you to run. All the way. All the way. The moment is the moment of the young.